come on over here, join us as we get started to stand up to say we are here for justice for Troy Davis. We are not going to let them execute an innocent man. We are going to stand up today and let our voices be heard. This is solidarity from California to Georgia. My name is Cameron Sturdivant. I'm with the campaign to end the death penalty, and I'm delighted and so happy to see all of you here today as we all stand up together and as part of this fight for against the death penalty, not just in Georgia, but the largest death row in the United States, which is here in California. The first person I want to bring up to the flower planter is Dana Blanchard, and she's going to talk a little bit about who is Troy Davis and why are we here today. So please welcome Dana Blanchard.
All right, can you guys hear me? So I think most folks know about Troy's case. Most folks here know about Troy's case, but just to give a couple of quick points that we can all be bringing out when we talk to people, Troy is innocent. People should know he's in jail falsely for murdering a police officer. As things often happen when a police officer gets killed, the cops go crazy and they round up everybody they can find in a neighborhood, and they don't really care if somebody's guilty or not. And in Troy's case, there is no physical evidence that connects him to the murder. There's basically witness testimony that has since been recanted, and the justice system in this country doesn't care. Every court that Troy has brought this evidence to has said, you know what, at the end of the day, innocence doesn't matter. It's whether or not you've had due process. And that's a disgusting thing for the U.S. justice system to say. The U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Scalia, said innocence doesn't matter. He's had his day in court. And we're here to say, no, he hasn't. Innocence is the most important thing when we talk about justice. And his execution date is scheduled for next Wednesday at 7 p.m., September 21st. People should be outraged the fact that they scheduled it for the shortest possible time that they could have between having his death warrant. The ink on the death warrant was hardly dry before they set the execution date. And people should be horrified by that, but it doesn't mean we should give up hope, and we need to keep fighting. There's a big rally in Atlanta today. I don't know, I haven't heard the news yet, but that's an important step. I think it's important that people are gathered here today, and we have a lot of work to continue to do over the next few days. So I'm gonna turn it over to Cameron.
All right.
They say death row.
We say hell no.
They say death row.
We say hell no.
They say death row.
We say hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
All right. Give yourselves a round of applause there. So next up is Ellen Saunders, who has agreed to give us a few words before she needs to jet off to another activity. But we're all about, not just about hardcore activists, we also are about people who have either seen Martina Correa, Troy's sister, who has fought tirelessly on Troy's behalf, or who got to hear his sister Kimberly this morning on Democracy Now!, which was a wonderful thing as well. So Ellen Saunders, please share a few words with us.
So I'm not a professional activist. I would consider myself someone who believes in justice. And so this is a scary story for me. The first time I came across this story, it scared me to think that our justice system could be used this way. So I've been a part of his story for the past 3 years, and I've been in San Francisco with Amnesty collecting signatures, and that's where I got my t-shirt. And what I've been wearing this since they set the new date, and the reaction I get from people is that they can read my shirt. It's really hard to miss the letters on this shirt. And I haven't had people come up to me to ask me about him, but I am able to talk about the story and share it. And I think that what we need to do is be able to talk to people who are uncomfortable hearing this story. It's a hard story to share. And so I find that just wearing the shirt is a way for me to try and bridge that gap. I would love to take the flyers to work, but I'm not able to do that. But when I'm at work, I can actually still talk about anything I want to do and believe in and what I support. So I was just asked to speak just at the last minute. So that is about what I want to share about how I'm a part of his story and how I feel connected to his story. And so I'm glad to see all of you here.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you very much, Ellen. A lot of us are here today. Some of us have seen each other before, for sure, in our fight against the death penalty here in California. And one of the main cases, besides Stan Tookie Williams, which brought us together, has been the ongoing fight for the living, Kevin Cooper, a fight that we continue on with today. Kevin Cooper wrote a statement thinking about Troy's case, and wrote that statement, and here to share it with us is Crystal Bybee, also from the campaign to end the death penalty. Please welcome Crystal.
Thank you. And it's so encouraging to see so many people come out. And I was talking to Kevin on the phone, and he'd already heard the news about Troy Davis, who, of course, he's followed very closely. And at first he said, you know, what do you say? What do you say that hasn't already been said? And I feel like for so many of us, you know, we've gotten to know Troy's case. We've gotten to know him through his sister, Martina. But then, of course, Kevin did find words to write. So he wanted me to share this with you. He wrote, it's called What They Say. They say that they are the most trustworthy and justice-seeking people in the world today. They say that they are the most civilized people that there has ever been. They say that they have evolved from the dark ages and have become the most enlightened people that God has ever produced. They say that they are the good in the good versus evil mentality that is often spoken about, and that they are the very best human beings that have ever inhabited this earth that we all share. Yet it is these trustworthy people, these justice-seeking people, these civilized, evolved, and enlightened people who have in the past and in the present committed some of the most barbaric and horrific crimes against humanity that this world has ever known. In truth, there can be no doubt that these people are untrustworthy. They are unjust. They are uncivilized, nor have they evolved or become enlightened. They aren't good, and in many cases, they act inhuman. These so-called good people do more things of an evil nature than the people who they claim they are better than. I have to believe, if not stop, they will continue to commit these crimes against humanity in the future, just as they always have done. Our world is full of people who have been unjustly executed by people in government. And on September 21st, 2011, Mr. Troy Davis may be the next human being to suffer this fate. We must stand together as a people to oppose this torture and murder of our fellow human beings. Who will it be next? You? Me? Everyone but the rich and powerful have their lives at stake in this unjust and broken legal system that continues to kill poor people no matter what. In the death penalty and all that it represents. So that's from Kevin Cooper.
Free Kevin Cooper!
Free Kevin!
Free Kevin Cooper!
Free Kevin!
And I wanted to say a few words about Kevin, because Kevin's case is in many ways very similar to Troy's in that they are, I think along with Mumia and along with so many other people, you know, symbols of everything that is wrong with the death penalty, how racist the death penalty is, how it catches up innocent people, and how the state is determined to kill these people and determined to keep the truth from coming out about them. But in each case, they are still alive today because of activists, because of people like everyone here. That's the reason that Troy Davis is alive, that Mumia Abu-Jamal is alive, and that Kevin Cooper is alive. And it means that we just need to keep fighting as hard as we can for all of them. And if you want to learn more about Kevin Cooper, you can visit freekevincooper.org. And I'll turn it back over to Kim.
The words of Kevin Cooper, always, always important to hear, and part of the fight that we carry on here in California as we extend our solidarity today to Georgia. I want to ask a soldier who I've known a long time in this fight, Kilo and Yasha, to please roll forward. And I'm going to ask people to make a little room for her to come on up and share some words. A longtime fighter in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal and so many of the political prisoners in California and across the country. Somebody who has deep roots in this area and is a long part of our tradition in fight. Please welcome Kilo and Yasha.
Okay, I got it.
All power to the people! Abolish the death penalty!
Abolish the death penalty!
Abolish the prison system!
Abolish the prison system!
And free Troy, free Kevin, free Mumia, and all death row prisoners!
Free them all!
Okay, I just wanted to share with you that I just lucked up this morning and managed to get hold of Martina Correa, Troy's sister. I first called her home number and her son gave me the hospital number. She's been in the hospital for 2 months. I was unaware of that and I was really kind of chagrined that I hadn't known that she was that ill. This incredibly courageous sister, whom I had the honor and privilege of meeting a few years ago when she was out here and I got to interview her, she is one of the bravest women I have ever met. She is so courageous. She's not only been fighting breast cancer all the while she's been fighting ill health, she's been fighting for the freedom of her brother. She's been tireless in her advocacy. She told me today that she expects to get out of the hospital this evening and be at Troy's hearing on Monday. She asked that everyone pray, and since I'm not religious, I told her I would send her my love energies. So regardless as to whether you pray or send love, send all the love and prayers and energies, positive energies you can to Martina and, of course, to Troy and the entire family. Let's just keep doing everything we can, everything we possibly can to make sure the state does not take his life. Thank you.
Okay, and on the word, thank you, Kilo and Yasha, for your words and for bringing that message. We're going to try now. We actually have words from Martina Correa, Troy's sister, it's on a tape, which I'm going to have to hold up to this microphone. So, for everybody who has a hard time hearing, you're just going to have to crowd forward and listen up carefully, and it's going to take me just 1 second to get this going. Crystal's going to hold on to the apparatus here.
We're going to use modern technology to...
You can turn the volume up if you want.
I think it's up as hard as it... It's up as high as it will go, yeah.
As high as it goes?
Yeah.
That's an older
book.
It's an older book.
Troy and some other teens ran away and they had no idea who shot and killed the police officer who came out to help the homeless man. 2 days later, the drug dealer, who was an informant for the police officer, actually went into the police department and said that a boy named Troy shot the police officer. Then they went looking for Troy and they never even questioned him about the crime. They said that Georgia death row inmates will not be seen or heard, that they are not to be given a voice. And so that's why we're all wearing I Am Troy Davis shirts. So people around the world are giving him a voice. I think that if Troy could tell his story and tell what happened, they would know that Troy is innocent. Everybody that gets to meet Troy knows that Troy is innocent, and they don't want to be able to give Troy a voice and be able to see his face and for him to be able to tell his story, because then people would know that what's happening to Troy is an injustice. So they're denying him access to the press. if he has access to the press, then they will deny him access to his family phone calls, and they can even deny him access to his lawyer for limited time. This is Troy's fourth death warrant and the fourth time being put up for execution. Some courts have given him relief and others have denied him. And so we're back at the same spot where they're trying to execute Troy. Troy's life can be saved by flooding the Georgia Parole Board with phone calls. People can go online and find the number to the Georgia Parole Board, and they can send as many letters, as many faxes as they possibly can, saying, please spare the life of Troy Anthony Davis. Because when there's doubt in the case, that they should not execute, and that was their standard. Also going to Amnesty International's website, www.aiusa.org, or National NAACP, NAACP.org, and they have a day of action and everything that you can do to help Troy.
Wow.
You know, one of the big issues in Troy Davis's case, it's a big issue in Kevin Cooper's case. It's not the only issue that we organize around, but you have to say that innocence is one of the most outrageous aspects. There's the fact that actual innocence is not necessarily a reason to stop an execution, according to the United States Supreme Court, is an outrageous stand. I want to bring another dimension of that innocence, and if Sam Shepard, who is in the audience, could come forward. I'm going to let him introduce himself and give you a little bit of another dimension on talking about innocence and what innocence means when it gets mixed up with the criminal injustice system. Please welcome longtime fighter again on this issue, Sam Shepard.
Here? Okay. It's been a long time since I've spoken out publicly, but my father was the original fugitive. They wanted to execute my father when I was 7 years old in the state of Ohio. Fortunately, they didn't. But it was a lynch mob mentality in Cleveland in those years. I'm a founding board member of Murder Victims Families for Reconciliation. Murder victim families who do not want executions ever in the whole world. And one thing about this case and Mumia Abu-Jamal's case is the victim family members, the true victim family members, do not know who really did the crime. And they should at least know that, because we know these people are innocent. So I'm glad to be here with like-minded people, and I truly hope for the best for Mr. Davis. But as we found out in the Shepard case, when he goes to the parole board, it's philosophically impossible to prove a negative. They're asking him to prove that he didn't do it, unfortunately. Let's hope for the best.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you. You know, it takes a lot of different sections of our society to help start the fight against the criminal injustice system, to help stop the death penalty. Here in Oakland, we actually are next to one of the most productive, biggest ports on the West Coast, and we are so fortunate to have a workforce that is unionized through the ILWU, that has been a leader on fighting for not just workers' rights, but also on social justice issues. And I want to welcome a longtime fighter on these issues, Jack Heyman, to come up and say a few words about the longtime fight that he has been involved in organizing labor and social issues and fighting the death penalty in general. Thank you.
Okay. It's unfortunate that we have to be out here today, but this is the only way that the powers that be understand that people in this country are outraged that the government of the United States, with a black man as president, and a black attorney general, would even consider executing an innocent black man on death row in Georgia. The ILWU, the Longshore Union, at our convention in 2009, heard a very moving speech from Troy's sister, Martina Correa. And Martina Correa laid out in detail how her brother was framed. And she got a standing ovation, and our union went on record demanding that they stop the execution, and Troy Davis, the San Francisco 8, Leonard Peltier, and Mumia Abu-Jamal be freed.
That's right.
So ILWU stands proudly on the grounds that this is an innocent man. We want the other unions to be involved. I want to read very briefly what we just got from the South Carolina AFL-CIO. This is a resolution supporting clemency for Troy Davis, passed by the executive board of the South Carolina AFL-CIO. I don't know, it might take a minute to read this, should I? Okay. All right, whereas Troy Davis is on death row in Georgia and is scheduled to be executed on September 21st, 2011 for a crime that he did not commit, and whereas procedural defaults have prevented Mr. Davis from presenting compelling evidence of his innocence, and whereas South Carolina AFL-CIO is aware of the grave deficiencies of the state of Georgia's system of capital punishment as outlined by the American Bar Association's report evaluating fairness and accuracy in the state death penalty systems, the Georgia Death Penalty Assessment Report. Whereas due to indigence, Mr. Davis has repeatedly suffered from deficient legal representation, particularly during the appeals phase. Whereas the death penalty is a permanent solution and mistakes cannot be undone. And whereas over 120 people have been wrongfully convicted in capital cases since 1976, including six from Georgia, and whereas no physical evidence connecting Mr. Davis to the murder and no murder weapon was ever recovered, and whereas the case against Mr. Davis entirely consisted of eyewitness testimony, and whereas substantial research has shown that eyewitnesses' identification is flawed and has contributed to the wrongful conviction of numerous innocent defendants, and whereas seven of the nine witnesses who testified against Mr. Davis at the trial have stated that they were coerced into signing statements written for them by police due to intense pressure and fear, and have now signed sworn affidavits recanting their testimony. It just goes on in the resolve to say that the South Carolina AFL-CIO stands firmly against the execution of Troy Anthony Davis. Yay! I'm from the Labor Action Committee, as well as being from the Longshore Union. I just retired at the beginning of this year. But one of the positions that we stand firmly on in the Labor Action Committee is that there is no justice in this racist capitalist system.
Right.
Workers are being thrown out of their houses in foreclosures. That's an injustice, while banks are given billions of dollars in bailout. I just came back from Longview, Washington, where the Longshore Union is faced with an attack from an international corporation. The U.S. federal judge issued an injunction against the union for picketing to defend its jobs, for blocking the trains. That is the kind of racist injustice that prevails in this country. And we say that the way workers are going to get justice is by defying the laws in this country, which are made for capital. They're not made for workers. That's the way Troy Davis will be free, that's the way Mumia Abu-Jamal will be free, and that's the way the working class is going to win its victory. Thank you very much.
Yes!
Thank you, Jack Kamen. Thank you. I have two more speakers on the list, and not to say anything about people with the color hair that I have, which is gray, but I know that there are some young people here as well, and maybe I don't know you yet. So if you're somebody who maybe isn't as gray as I am, and you would have a few words that you want to say about why you're here today. I think it's so important that we get a lot of different people up here. So you can talk to Crystal if you would like to get on and say a few words and tell people why you're here today, what this struggle for Troy Davis means for you. Next up is a woman I've worked with for a long time in the fight against the death penalty, starting with Mumia Abu-Jamal's case. That's where she and I first started to meet. Carol Seligman, please come up and say a few words for us.
How many of you have heard about what the NAACP did for Troy Davis yesterday? Not too many. Okay, then I can tell you something wonderful. They delivered 660,000 signatures on petitions to the Georgia Board of Pardons. So I think what this does is it validates what the sister from Amnesty International said at the beginning of this rally about being scared. Because I think 660,000 people are very scared about the possibility of Georgia executing an innocent man. And we all should be. Because if an innocent person can be executed, despite all these so-called eyewitnesses recanting their testimony, despite forced testimony from police, which is a regular feature of life in the black community especially, if despite that, an innocent man could be killed by the state, then none of us are safe. None of us are safe. And that's why it's powerful to say and wear a t-shirt and say, I am Troy Davis, because indeed we are. Because if he is executed, all of us are in much greater danger from police brutality, from police framing up as they did with him, as they did with Mumia Abu-Jamal, Kevin Cooper, and a list way too long to name. That is a factor of life in this country, and we have to fight it every step of the way. So I think we have to be very inspired by what the NAACP and Amnesty International did in collecting hundreds of thousands of signatures, and we're not finished. We need to go out from here for the next 5 days, 5 days left, and try to build up even more support for Troy Davis. He must not be executed.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. And now, as Carol said, we need to go out from here. I see a lot of seasoned activists here as well, people who know other people. So it's our job over the next 5 days to take out the petitions and make sure they get back. It's our job to make sure people know that there's a phone number that they can call. We have information sheets here today with that phone number. It's important that the organizers and the activists that I see here today go out, each one teach one. It's time to meet some new friends and talk to them about Troy Davis and why they should get involved in the fight. I want to bring up Jeff Mackler, somebody who's been a longtime organizer in the Bay Area as well, fighting, well, here he is, Jeff Mackler.
I'm a national coordinator of the defense of Mumia Abu-Jamal. I've been working on the case for 17 years. This December 9th marks the 30th year of Mumia's incarceration, and he has fought back 3 warrants for his execution, and now the state of Pennsylvania is still seeking his execution, using the Supreme Court to reverse every one of its own press in order to execute Mumia. We shared a platform with Amnesty International where we talked about Troy and Mumia, and we were amazed how similar the cases were. In Troy's case, 7 out of the 9 witnesses who testified in court that they saw him kill the police officer, not recanted their testimony, But one of the two that didn't was the actual killer, and they have proof that he, the killer, who refuses to recant, by the way, was on the crime scene and confessed to the murder. Troy's case is a monstrosity, employing the principle that innocence is trumped by timeliness. And that is, if you don't present the evidence of innocence within the specified time periods of the reactionary states, it is trumped, that it is voided, it doesn't mean anything because due process has been granted. It's the same with Mumia. Every time we come up with new evidence proving his innocence, the court says it's irrelevant. The court rejects consideration of it. Mumia and Troy are innocent political prisoners on death row. They should be freed immediately. But now I'd like to say something else that's a little bit different. Every single person on death row should be freed immediately. Now I want to say something else, and I didn't say just released for life in prison. I say freed.
Yes.
The United States has the largest number of prisoners in the world, and the highest percentage of its people in prison, and the largest number and percentage of people on death row of any nation on earth. Killing people and imprisoning people is a profitable enterprise. The prison industrial complex is a private, increasingly privatized institution to make money at the expense of working people's lives. And now I have something else even more amazing to say. I think every prisoner in the entire country should be freed. They are victims of a sick society. A society that is racist and sexist and homophobic and prejudiced and class biased, and there is no justice for working people. Just like the longshoremen got an injunction for a goddamn picket line that every union in America should have a right to do to save your job against a scab-herding boss. Now you say, well, my God, we released 3.5 people from prisons and 7 million total under the jurisdiction of the criminal justice system. Aren't they going to wreak havoc on our wonderful society? In the society that I'd like to see, every human being can be rehabilitated. Every human being can be a credit to the advancement of the cause of humanity. No one can be ruled out. There is no such thing as inherently evil, as a genetic disorder, as people who must stay in prison the rest of their lives. The humane society that I want to build, and encourage you to join in the project, we'll find ways to make every prisoner. By the way, I should say that every healthy revolution in the history of the world, the first thing they did was run to the Bastilles of their nation and free all the prisoners.
Yeah.
Because they knew that they were victims of society. I agree with Carol. We must not waste these 5 days. We must take that 600,000 signatures submitted by the NAACP to the racist Georgia criminal system and make it 1 million and 2 million. And make the political price of his murder too high to pay to kill him. We can't give up on Troy. We can't give up on Mumia. We can't give up on fighting this racist criminal justice system. Free all political prisoners, close down the prisons, and deal with the real criminals in this society who are killing millions in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, in Libya and Pakistan, and now in Africa and every other continent. They are the real killers, not innocent working people that never had a chance from the moment they were born. Free Mumia, free Troy.
Yay!
Thank you, Jeff. I'd like to call Fabio from, Fabio from the Commemoration Committee and for the Black Panther Party. Please come forward.
Yeah. I'll talk to the people.
Here's some words from Fabio.
Hi, my name is the CBR representative for the Commemoration Committee for the Black Panther Party to commemorate the legacy of the 10-point platform. I'd like to say free all political prisoners locked up, free Troy Davis, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, free Leonard Peltier, and others who don't have any representation. Point number 8 of the Black Panther Party program says we want freedom for all black and oppressed people now held in these wretched and inhumane United States federal, state, military prisons and jails, because the majority of people have not had a trial, a jury appears, and fair representation in this racist judicial system, and because of the exploitation that they're going through is the real cause of their oppression. It's obvious that Troy Davis is an innocent man, and in the United States, these courts of law do not care about if you're innocent or guilty. They don't care. They don't care if you're a man or a woman. They'll lock you up. And these prisons need to be abolished, and we need to continue to apply pressure, political pressure, like he just said, and make these judges and these policemen and these lawmakers and these monsters who were in office take some political consequences, because these courts of law are unfair. Just today, we just witnessed a young black woman getting beat down by the police in front of UC Berkeley today in 2011, and Troy Davis is another example of how these pigs will murder you, just like they did Tiki Williams in California. So it's a nationwide epidemic, and it's here. And so we all need to continue to organize like we're doing now, and everybody should fill out the petition and do as much as they can to spread the word, because we need to have a mass movement and do away with this prison industrial complex. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Azubio. I always feel better when I see a Black Panther around. Zach Williams is the next person up. He's with the International Socialist Organization and also the UC Berkeley and the UC Berkeley student. So, Zach. Oh, there you go.
Start with this. Oh, you can hear me? I'd like to do a chant. They say death row.
We say hell no.
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 Thank you. So, I spent the afternoon tabling for this event at Laney College, one of the Peralta colleges, one of the hubs of the Oakland community. And all day talking to people, watching people, being on public transit, it was very clear to me that we're part of a community. Oakland is just one of many communities, but it's a real community. It's not a bunch of atomized people, each going about their own business, going about their own interests without any interest in each other. It's actually a bunch of human beings trying to figure out each other and trying to make it through this life. It was also very clear that this community, like many others, is breaking. It's at the straining point and it's breaking, and you have to ask why. I'm 22 years old. All my life, I've seen this federal government control the wealth that's produced by these communities, and I've seen them squander it. I've seen them spend it on war. I've seen them kill a million Iraqis. I've seen them cut public services. I've seen them destroy institutions that I've been a part of. I've seen them deport hundreds of thousands of immigrants. And I've seen them jail hundreds of thousands of black and brown and poor people. And for me, that's the context. That's what Troy Davis is about. Because you've got an innocent black man. Everyone here has shown he's innocent. We all know he's innocent. The witnesses have recanted their statements, and yet the system is still obsessed with killing him. They cannot concede one point, because if they concede that they're going to kill, that they've been threatening to kill an innocent man, that they've killed innocent men, that they've killed millions of innocent men and women already, then they lose their legitimacy. They lose their right to be out in this tower. So, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? We can continue to let them kill innocent people We can continue to let them break communities, or we can fight back. And for me, I'm 22 years old. I see a lot of young faces in this crowd, and I wonder what our future is. I saw a lot of 5-10-year-old kids who still have their innocence and their compulsion to live a good life on the bus today. And I have to wonder, what future do they have? How many of those kids are Troy Davises? How many of those kids are going to Iraq to kill other little Iraqi Troy Davises? So that's the situation that we're in now, and there's very little room for bullshit. There's very little room for reformism. There's very little room for sectarianism. What we need now is a movement. That's all I have to say. So, they say death row!
We say hell no!
They say death row!
We say hell no!
Thank you, Zach. Carol, hold up your hand. Carol has hundreds of flyers with information about what people can do. We don't want any of these left here, so please now, make before you leave, before you decide to take off, make sure you see Carol, get the flyers that tell people what they can do in the next 5 days to help save Troy Davis's life. He is in extreme jeopardy, and what we do matters, so please take this information now and use it to help save the life of Troy Davis and help us strike a blow for justice. The next person I'd like to call up is Charles Dubois from the Labor Black and Brown. Charles Dubois.
Oh, Zeke.
Not that old. Hi, I'm with Labor.
I'm with Labor Black and Brown. These executions that they carry out in the name of the law and the executions they carry out in the streets, they're different, but we all die. The death penalty is not only barbaric, we all recognize it as racist. Before I go on anymore, I want to make sure people go to one event out of two especially. The Mummy event that's on the 23rd at Central de Pueblo, people need to go to that for two reasons. To see the debate yourself, but also to make sure these rooms are packed. Anytime there's an event around Mumia, we need those rooms packed for our own good and for Mumia's good. What I'm here to say fundamentally is this, basically this. We need a working class, black and brown, united front. We got Troy Davis on death row. We got other people on death row they want to kill. We got Mumia Abu-Jamal. We also have prison strikes. Now I want to pause there just for a second, because look, this is something the working class needs to be doing outside the wall. Now we're getting good examples, but I think people in the so-called left wing need to pay attention to examples that are there. The ILWU shut down the port October 23rd, a political strike for Oscar Grant. We need more political strikes like that. When they shoot us down, we shut them down. Mm-hmm. Our organizing today needs to proceed from that predicate. If we proceed from that predicate, this gives dividends to the death penalty, anti-death penalty movement, because of the same thing. The ILWU shows the way, but then the brothers behind the bars show the way. A prison strike, a political strike. And they got a lot of nothing to lose, a lot of life. And they're treated like nothing. So I'm here to say this. The working class needs to look at the question of the political strike. And so I'm suggesting all you folks who say they're leftists or radicals or anti-status quo folks need to start talking that kind of talk at the workplace. That's all I have to say about that. I'd like people to come to our Labor Black and Brown meeting. We're meeting this Tuesday the 27th at Laney College Cafeteria. We're discussing how to organize such a strategy. Bind the union movement with the black and brown community. I think we can do some things like that. Thank you very much.
All right. Charles Dubois, thank you. I have two more speakers left, and then we're going to wrap it up here, because what we're going to do is go from here and continue the work to help save Troy's life. The next person up
I'd like to welcome Marty Cotton. His son was killed by the Eureka police and involved in a current civil suit against the Eureka police and city. So, Marty Cotton.
He's right here.
Just for I came here to support Troy Davis, and for all the prisoners, we need to abolish the death penalty, period. I've been in a trial all week with my son that was killed August 9th, 07 by Eureka City Police Department. They beat him to death, left him to die. And this goes on all over the world, no matter what race, color, creed, whatever. It happens with everybody. And it's continuing throughout the country. And we need to unite and stick together. We're on the same planet.
That's right.
The same world. We're created by the same creator. Jehovah is watching out for us. We need to stick together.
Right on.
Thank you, folks.
Marty, next in the
final. All right. There you go.
What?
Marty Cotton, thank you. I want to now welcome Abdul Malik, who is with the Commemoration Committee for the Black Panther Party, to come up and say a few words to us to close us out as we get ready to leave here tonight to continue our fight for Troy Davis. A week from today, when we're also going to be, that's going to be our final day of fighting for Troy's life as well. So it's going to be easy to remember it. 8:30 in the morning here in courtroom one at the federal building. So, but now, Malik.
We'll have it done the night before.
Power to the people.
All power to the people.
Power to the people. How y'all doing?
All power to the people.
What's the call?
Free them all.
What's the call?
Free them all.
What's the call?
Free them all.
I just want to basically state, in accordance to what he was talking about, the so-called leftists and so-called radicals. I just want to state that, you know, while other people can observe situations from afar, there are people who are suffering and dealing with these situations every day. So the, you know, importance of the situation is serious, really serious. And I also like to say that, you know, police brutality is just one of the many things that people deal with in the community. Also, you know, not being tried by jury and their peers, being people from the same communities. But there are also other issues, you know, gentrification in the community where, you know, the black and brown communities are being destroyed so that these people don't even have the chance to even unite. So I think that it's imperative that we not just, you know, come out here and shake our fist and wave a bunch of picket signs and think that's when the revolution stops, you know, or read a Che Guevara book or come to a rally whenever you can. Because when you go home, I don't know where you go home to, every day and every moment that you're just kicking and enjoying life, there's somebody who's living in hell. And I think it's really important that, you know, that we not even just take notice of certain political prisoners, just choose one and romanticize over certain individuals, but the whole situation at hand. Because there's many political prisoners who have been held for 30 years,
yes,
who are not mentioned, and were rotting in prison. You know, Mumia Abu-Jamal gets a lot of attention, and I think that's very good, you know, that he gets a lot of attention. But Hugo Yogi Kamel doesn't, and Hugo Yogi Kamel has been locked up since 1968, as well as others. You know, Jalil Alameen, who's a most valiant revolutionary warrior for the Black Panther Party. But I really just want to say, you know, to be a pseudo-revolutionary, or like my OG says, a subjectively revolutionary person, it's very counter-revolutionary. It stands in the way of those who actually take efforts and make movements and action, take action to change the situation. So I just leave these words. Don't be a pseudo-revolutionary. Either you're a part of the solution or you're part of the problem. You can either get out the way, or people like myself who are very serious about the situation and deal with it every day, that I have to step outside as a black man, will move you out of the way. So yeah, I like to end with that. All power to the people.
All right. Go on, Abdul.
All right, we got one more. We're going to have a poem, and then we're going to do a little chanting and send us on our way to help fight for Troy Davis's life. So, what's your name?
Vita.
Vita is going to read us a short poem, and then we're going to take it on out with a chant.
Hello, everybody. I just got out of jail 2 days ago. And the police out there are really controlling, and they try to provoke you by saying, aren't your people supposed to attack us? It's just really crazy in jail right now. A lot of people are being put into this position. It's not right. But I wrote this short little poem while I was in there to say, daylight come and I break my fast. No time for rest in this life I lead that ish for last. In the confinements of this program, surrounded by my savages, the clan. Fuck the man, look into his eyes, see lies. Quit making these laws and put us here for crime. Not even recognizing the cries that come from our ancestors' demise. Much love to the Father in the sky, who done gave us the spirit to ride for our culture against these controllers. Which is why us men, we were forced to become soldiers. All right, they say death row.
We say hell no.
They say death row.
We say hell no.
They say death row.
We say hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
Death row.
Hell no.
All right, folks, let's go make it real. Let's go out there and fight for Troy Davis today and for the next 5 days. Let's make it real. Thank you for coming here today. Take the information that Carol has now. It has the ways that people can get involved to help stop the death penalty in Georgia, which helps us stop the death penalty here in California. Thank you.